I asked if I could take a look at his lessons. Then I went to wash my hands and sat down across from him on the divan. After I'd explained some French to him, we began to talk. He told me that after the war, he wanted to go to the Dutch East Indies and live on a rubber plantation. He talked about his life at home, the black market, and how he felt like a worthless bum. I told him he had a big inferiority complex. He talked about the war, saying that Russia and England were bound to go to war against each other and about the Jews. He said life would have been much easier if he'd been a Christian or could become one after the war. I asked if he wanted to be baptized, but that wasn't what he meant either. He said he'd never be able to feel like a Christian, but that after the war he'd make sure nobody would know he was Jewish. I felt a momentary pang. It's such a shame he still has a touch of dishonesty in him. Peter added, "The Jews have been and always will be the chosen people." I answered, "Just this once, I hope they'll be chosen for something good." But we went on chatting very pleasantly, about father, about judging human character, and all sorts of things, so many that I can't even remember them all. I left at 5:15 because Bep had arrived. That evening, he said something else I thought was nice. We were talking about the picture of a movie star I'd once given him, which has been hanging in his room for at least 1.5 years. He liked it so much that I offered to give him a few more. "No," he replied, "I'd rather keep the one I've got. I look at it every day, and the people in it have become my friends." I now have a better understanding of why he always hugs Mushi so tightly. He obviously needs affection, too. I forgot to mention something else he was talking about. He said, "No, I'm not afraid, except when it comes to things about myself, but I'm working on that." Peter has a huge inferiority complex. For example, he always thinks he's so stupid and we're so smart. When I help him with French, he thanks me 1,000 times. One of these days I'm going to say, "Oh, cut it out, you're much better at English and geography." Anne Frank. Thursday, February 17th, 1944. Dear Kitty, I was upstairs this morning since I promised Mrs. Vandy I'd read her some of my stories. I began with Ava's Dream, which she liked a lot, and then I read a few passages from The Secret Annex, which had her in stitches. Peter also listened for a while, just the last part, and asked if I'd come to his room sometime to read more. I decided I had to take a chance right then and there, so I got my notebook and let him read that bit where Katie and Hans talk about God. I can't really tell what kind of impression it made on him. He said something I don't quite remember, not about whether it was good, but about the idea behind it. I told him I just wanted him to see that I didn't write only amusing things. He nodded, and I left the room. We'll see if I hear anything more. Yours, Anne Frank. Friday, February 18th, 1944. My dearest Kitty, whenever I go upstairs, it's always so I can see him. Now that I have something to look forward to, my life here has improved greatly. At least the object of my friendship is always here, and I don't have to be afraid of rivals, except for Margot. Don't think I'm in love, because I'm not, but I do have the feeling that something beautiful is going to develop between Peter and me, a kind of friendship and a feeling of trust. I go see him whenever I get the chance, and it's not the way it used to be, when he didn't know what to make of me. On the contrary, he's still talking away as I'm heading out the door. Mother doesn't like me going upstairs. She always says I'm bothering Peter and that I should leave him alone. Honestly, can't she credit me with some intuition? She always looks at me so oddly when I go to Peter's room. When I come down again, she asks me where I've been. It's terrible, but I'm beginning to hate her. Yours, Anne M. Frank. Saturday, February 19th, 1944. Dearest Kitty, it's Saturday again, and that should tell you enough. This morning, all was quiet. I spent nearly 1 hour upstairs making meatballs, but I only spoke to him in passing. When everyone went upstairs at 2:30 to either read or take a nap, I went downstairs with blanket and all to sit at the desk and read or write. Before long, I couldn't take it anymore. I put my head in my arms and sobbed my heart out. The tears streamed down my cheeks, and I felt desperately unhappy. Oh, if only he had come to comfort me. It was past 4 by the time I went upstairs again. At 5 o'clock, I set off to get some potatoes, hoping once again that we'd meet. But while I was still in the bathroom fixing my hair, he went to see Bosch. I wanted to help Mrs. Van D and went upstairs with my book and everything, but suddenly I felt the tears coming again. I raced downstairs to the bathroom, grabbing the hand mirror on the way. I sat there on the toilet, fully dressed, long after I was through, my tears leaving dark spots on the red of my apron, and I felt utterly dejected. Here's what was going through my mind. Oh, I'll never reach Peter this way. Who knows? Maybe he doesn't even like me and he doesn't need anyone to confide in. Maybe he only thinks of me in a casual sort of way. I'll have to go back to being alone without anyone to confide in and without Peter, without hope, comfort, or anything to look forward to. Oh, if only I could rest my head on his shoulder and not feel so hopelessly alone and deserted. Who knows? Maybe he doesn't care for me at all and looks at the others in the same tender way. Maybe I only imagined it was especially for me. Oh, Peter, if only you could hear me or see me. If the truth is disappointing, I won't be able to bear it. A little later, I felt hopeful and full of expectation again, though my tears were still flowing on the inside. Yours, Anne M. Frank.